Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry. Magnificent football, baseball, basketball, hockey, sports equinox Monday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you, here on the Odyssey app, on Sirius XM, on YouTube, on Twitch, on radio stations nationwide. We are in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment. Talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, allow me to channel my inner Vincent Kennedy McMahon, just in terms of a vocal imitation, nothing else. Brian Kelly, fired. Brian Kelly, fired by LSU. What is next for LSU? Got a note from the guys here on my microphone. How's the microphone now? Microphone better? We're doing okay with the microphone? Still the same? All right. Microphone may be a little screwy until the end of the segment, so apologize to everyone. Bill, would you like me to do a refresh here and have Femi talk for a minute, get the microphone right? You let me know what you want me to do. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep talking. All right, it's not that bad. So we will deal with the microphone for the rest of the segment. We will talk about what's next for LSU. And in all seriousness, why the firing of Brian Kelly does impact both Alabama and Texas A&M and their hopes of winning a national championship. And I'm going to tell everybody the two coaches that I think LSU needs to call. And no, Lane Kiffin is not among them. College football talk coming up a little later in the program. We will also take a spin around the National Basketball Association after weekend number one in the NBA. And I'm going to attempt to answer what I think is a pretty interesting question. The question, are the Boston Celtics going to tank? Oh, I can't wait to get into it. 0-3, Boston taking on the Pelly Pels tonight in New Orleans. We'll talk the Celtics, we'll talk Austin Reeves, and a lot of NBA coming up later in the show. How about the final hour, the power hour? Oh, baby, it's Sports Equinox. We got everything going on today in the world of sports. We will give you a full breakdown of Game 3 of the World Series tonight. Tyler Glasnow starts for the Dodgers. Max Scherzer making his 32nd career playoff start tonight. First World Series start in 6 years for Mad Max. Dodgers a big favorite at home over the Jays. Series tied at 1. What are our bets for the game tonight? How do we see the rest of the series playing out? We will also handicap tonight in the NBA. I've got a bunch of bets for tonight in the association. And I feel like I am seeing the board. I'm seeing the board right now in the NBA. Frozen Femi's got some plays in the NHL for the Sports Equinox Parlay. And of course, we will hit you, our listeners, you, our viewers, with side, total, and props for Monday Night Football as Week 8 in the NFL wraps up tonight in Arrowhead with Marcus Mariota and the Washington Commanders visiting Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And interesting side and total moves on this one. The total in the game now sitting at 48. The Commanders have been the preferred betting side throughout the day today, from 12.5 all the way down to 10. So Kansas City, a 10-point favorite at home. And I really like the Chiefs. And I'll tell you why at the end of the show, and I'll give you some props. But hell yeah, I'll be on the Kansas City Chiefs coming up tonight. For the people watching the show on YouTube, people watching the show on Twitch, let us know your best bet for tonight in the world of sports, if you're feeling up to it. A Sports Equinox Parlay, a four-legger, NHL, NBA, World Series Game 3, Commanders and Chiefs, Monday Night Football. I will be taking submissions on Twitter as well, at the Costos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, at Femi Abebefe, at You Better You Bet on Twitter. But we officially begin magnificent football, baseball, basketball, hockey, Monday edition of You Better You Bet with Sunday Night Football. As the Aaron Rodgers Bowl won by Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. Final score from Pittsburgh. Packers 35, Steelers 25. Just doing the quick math in my head, 35, 25. Carry the 4 divided by 2, the exponent. Oh, baby, we flew over the total. Yes. Yes, we did. Over hits last night on Sunday Night Football, and you absolutely love to see it. As far as the game is concerned, an utterly fascinating sporting event where you might not even remember, with the way the game ended and the way the second half went, that the Pittsburgh Steelers actually led this game at halftime by 9. Pittsburgh's up 16-7 going into intermission. The Steelers in full control of the game. After a Brandon McManus, a second McManus missed field goal at the end of the half, Pittsburgh goes into the intermission up by 9. And I'm curious if you, our listeners and viewers, you watched the game last night, did you think during the first half, when the game goes to halftime, did you think the Steelers were going to win the game? First half went pretty well for them. Did you think the Steelers were going to win? I'll be really honest with everybody. I think you know that I've earned enough equity on the show where I would just say whatever I felt, whether it's right or wrong. I never felt like the Packers were going to lose. Never. And I felt like we were going to get a ton of scoring in the second half because at some point the dam was going to break and Green Bay's offense was going to absolutely dominate and overmatch Pittsburgh Steelers' defense. And lo and behold, that's what we got. Scoring is what we got. And I cash my bet. The Packers, 28 points in the second half. 454 yards of total offense for the game, 7.2 yards per play. And Jordan Love, and I'll give Love so much credit. Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he wasn't really telling the truth last week. Maybe he meant it when he said it. And I thought Chris Collinsworth did a great job on the NBC broadcast of basically being like, I don't believe Aaron Rodgers when he says this is just another game. You don't get to be like this level of insane person in terms of the competitive nature and just turn it off like it's water coming out of a faucet. Like, that's not how this goes. This is toothpaste out of the tube. You can't put that son of a bitch back in. So Rodgers trying to downplay a little bit for whatever the reason may be. Jordan Love didn't. Jordan Love basically saying like, no, like this isn't another game. Like, I respect Aaron. And I learned a ton from Aaron, but I want to win this game. Like, I want to beat Aaron Rodgers, and we can all appreciate that, right? And last night, And it's not a commentary that means like Jordan Love is going to be better than Aaron Rodgers. In my opinion, Rodgers is the seventh best quarterback of my lifetime. First ballot Hall of Famer, absolute no doubt. I'm not saying Jordan Love is now better than Aaron Rodgers for their careers, but there can be no question. Jordan Love was the better quarterback last night. 20 consecutive completions, and some of them were a little crazy, like just chucking the ball up, and here's Tucker Kraft. Here's Christian Watson right in the breadbasket, like right over the overstretched fingertips of a defender. Awesome stuff from Jordan Love. 20 consecutive completions from the end of the first half into the second half. 29 of 37, 360 passing yards, and three touchdowns for Jordan Love. That second half for the Packers has to be the best they've looked and the best that I at least have felt about Green Bay, literally since week two, Thursday night football against the Washington Commanders. And just consider for a second how you, the listener, how you, the viewer, how all of us felt about Green Bay at that point, where week two, Thursday night football, they beat Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders by 9 in that game, and we said it the Phenomenal Football Friday the next day. Like, that was not an authentic final score. The Packers kicked the crap out of the Commanders in that game. The final score was 9. It could have easily been 29 with the way Green Bay outplayed Washington. And 3 days prior to that, the Packers handed the Lions' ass to them on a silver platter. Week one, NFL Sunday, destroy the Lions. Week two, NFL Thursday night, destroy the Commanders. And at that point, everyone's opinion of the Packers, the stock in Green Bay, is through the roof. You had players on Green Bay talking about them going undefeated, which is ridiculous, obviously, but just saying, an indication as to how they felt about themselves, how the media, including me, including us, was propping them up after that 2 games to start the year. Since then, lose on the road at Cleveland. And when we get to the end of the year, that will go down as one of the most inexplicable losses of the entire season. Green Bay at Cleveland. They tie in the Micah Parsons Bowl on Sunday Night Football in Dallas, 40-40. They go on their bye week, come back, beat the Bengals by 9, and it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and Joe Flacco had been in Cincinnati for about 8 minutes at that point. Then beat the Cardinals by 4 in Arizona and had to like withstand the last-second Jacoby Brissett drive to preserve a victory on the road at Arizona against the backup quarterback. And then they're down by 9 at the half last night in Pittsburgh against the Steelers defense that had just gotten absolutely shredded the week before by the aforementioned Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals. You certainly would have been able to understand anyone who would start to lose faith in the Green Bay Packers as a legitimate Super Bowl contender when I lay it out to you like that. And then the second half starts. And you see the vision. You see the potential. They're dripping with it. It's moist. It's tantalizing. You can feel it. You can feel the potential of this team simmering, marinating, as they absolutely laid waste to the Steelers over the final 30 minutes of that game. The explosive nature of the Packers' passing attack. Jordan Love hitting shots down the field to everybody. We'll get to Tucker Kraft in a little bit. Coupled with an insane pass rush where Micah Parsons lining up behind the nose tackle. Aaron Rodgers does, is he coming or not? Will he rush or will he drop? And when he rushed, Aaron Rodgers dropped. Doing the old, like Jim Everett in the 1989 NFC Championship game for the Rams against the San Francisco 49ers. No one around him and he just starts to go happy feet and drop into the turf. As soon as Micah Parsons would rush from that spot, Aaron Rodgers was like, I gotta either throw the ball or I'm going down. Like, see ya, everybody. Live to fight another play. That's the vision. That's the vision for the Green Bay Packers. Explosive downfield passing attack coupled with devastating pass rush. And it was on full display. Now, they're not perfect. I'd like the offensive line to play a little better for Green Bay. You'd like them to run block especially a little better. Josh Jacobs, despite, you know, all the touchdowns that he scored, has been pretty inefficient on the ground this season. Only two games out of seven for Green Bay, Josh Jacobs has averaged 4 yards per carry or better. So the run game's got to be better. I'd like for the offensive line to be a little better. But man, you saw it last night, why the Green Bay Packers absolutely belong in the Super Bowl discussion in the NFC. On the other side, we'll talk about Tucker Kraft and the failure that has been the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The 16 to Kraft, the tight end with blocking. Kraft inside the 5, to the end zone, touchdown. Tucker Kraft. Pressure coming. He picked it up. Inside. Kraft's got it. At the 10. Kraft running away to the end zone. He has 2 touchdowns.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Ah, the great Mike Tirico with the call last night. Sunday Night Football. Can I ask a crazy question? Is Tucker Kraft the best football player alive? Not is he the most valuable football player, because he's not, obviously. He's not a quarterback. Is he just the best football player on the planet right now? He's ridiculously fun to watch. And if you've got him in fantasy football, like I do in several leagues, including of the dynasty variety, you are tickled pink with Tucker Kraft. They throw him the ball, and he runs away from everybody. And he's gigantic. 7 catches, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. On one of his long catch and runs, of which there were several, I literally am watching the game and I'm thinking to myself, I'm curious, did anyone else think this? Am I crazy? I'm not saying he's as good as this player. He looks like Rob Gronkowski. Like, this is how Gronk used to look. Catching the football at the tight end position. Now, Gronk, in my estimation, is the greatest tight end that's ever played the game. Number one on the list. Best combo of pass catching and blocking in the history of football at the tight end position. Tucker Kraft's got a long, long ass way to go to even sniff what Rob Gronkowski did. But I'll tell you, just watching him, he looks like Gronk. He's ridiculously good. And when you give Jordan Love a weapon like that, a weapon like Tucker Kraft, to go along with a returning Christian Watson, who looks pretty good catching passes down the field, at some point, I think Matthew Golden's going to start to pop. And look, the bye week's already happened. It's come and gone. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe it won't. I'm still bullish on Matthew Golden. Jaden Reed's going to be back. Savion Williams scored a touchdown last night. Dontavian Wicks didn't even play in the game. This is an embarrassment of riches. And if Jordan Love can be consistent and look like he did last night, the Green Bay Packers are absolutely a Super Bowl threat in the NFC. The way I see it right now, we have the four horsemen of the National Football Conference. The Packers, the Lions, the Rams, and the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to the Eagles coming up in a little bit. But as far as Green Bay goes, that's the vision. That second half. If that's what the Packers can be, the upside is to lift the Lombardi Trophy in February. So the Packers, the winners of the Aaron Rodgers Bowl, which means that Aaron Rodgers was the loser of the Aaron Rodgers Bowl. And that's not totally fair to say, because I thought Rodgers actually played really well in the game. I thought Rodgers looked good in the game. He has way less weapons to deal with than Jordan Love. I'm not making an excuse, and I love Aaron Rodgers. You, the audience, you know that. I did think Rodgers played really well. But unfortunately for him, and unfortunately for Mike Tomlin, last night completes a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad 10 days for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That started with the indefensible, insane, ridiculous loss last Thursday night to the Cincinnati Bengals. How'd the Bengals look yesterday, losing to the Jets? The Steelers couldn't beat the Bengals. They're going to look back at that loss if they're outside of the playoffs looking in, and they're going to say, that's why we didn't make it, because of that loss to Cincinnati. That loss was absolutely, absolutely ridiculous by the Steelers. And now, the Steelers have lost two straight games, and Pittsburgh sitting at 4-3. And guess who's coming to town next Sunday? Here's Daniel Jones, Jonathan Taylor, Shane Steichen, and the unbelievable Indianapolis Colts. Colts are a 3-point road favorite in that game. Anyone want to bet the Steelers? Oh, people will want to bet Pittsburgh. And they'll say, oh, well, it's Mike Tomlin as a home underdog. Guess what, everybody? Like, I hate to tell you this. This defense sucks. It's bad. And they're not going to fix it. Because if they were going to fix it, it would have happened already. Look what happened in the second half of this game last night. They had no hope and no prayer of stopping the Packers. It's a front-running defense. Great. You want to give... Here's Dylan Gabriel. Great. Yeah, they can play well against Dylan Gabriel. Here's Carson Wentz. Great. For 55 minutes, you can shut down Carson Wentz until he throws for 200 yards in the final 5 minutes in Dublin. Great. You can get fat on bad offense, and you can't even do that. Justin Fields put 30 on them in week one. If you got to play Dylan Gabriel every week, sure, Pittsburgh can go 14-3. But when you play a good offense, an offense with explosive capability, like they are going to get shredded. And I'm not a Steelers hater. I love them coming into the year. I bet them over the win total. I bet them to make the playoffs. I'm financially vested in the Steelers winning games, but I have to call a spade a spade. How the hell do you watch this defense and are you filled with any confidence at all? When they play a good offense, they get wrecked. And last night, they got wrecked by Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And spoiler alert for everybody, they're going to get wrecked next Sunday by the Indianapolis Colts. How are they getting stops in that game? How are they slowing down the Colts? I want somebody to tell me. Watch the old 22, like tell me about the A-gap and the fire zone blitz. How are the Steelers stopping them? They can't stop anybody. They're going to stop the Colts? A historically great offense through eight games? No way. Not happening. No way. So two losses in 10 days for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was once 4-1 is now 4-3. And the really bad news for the Steelers. You better you bet on this Monday. The Baltimore Ravens come out of their bye week, lie on the Friday injury report, don't have Lamar Jackson, and still beat the Chicago Bears. And the Ravens are now only a couple games out of first place in the AFC North. And I'm going to talk about Baltimore and Pittsburgh in a second, but if you'll allow me just to speak on the injury report situation for a moment. The Baltimore Ravens are lying to everybody. When John Harbaugh says post-game yesterday, after they beat the Bears, I know, I'll just say it, the pathetic Chicago Bears, who should be embarrassed by their performance yesterday. And what happened on the final drive for Chicago and on that goal-to-go sequence will be studied by aliens for centuries after we're long gone from this planet. What an atrocity of football that was. Football war crimes committed by Caleb Williams and the Bears offense. But you know, before we got to the game, we had John Harbaugh on the injury report. And John Harbaugh says after the game, it was an honest mistake. I'm not really involved in that. They're lying through their teeth to everybody. Full stop, end of story. End of story. Lamar Jackson practiced in full. And you know what? Like, I think there's a criticism you could make of NFL insiders for them just being like, oh, but now he's playing. Like, where is the sourcing here? Did anyone actually see him in practice? Because apparently he ran scout team. And that's another lie. Ask yourself this question. I'm being dead serious right now. If Lamar Jackson ran the scout team in full on Friday, don't you think he would have played in the game? They're not 5-1 entering Sunday. They're 1-5. They absolutely have to win. You don't think they would have played Lamar Jackson if he could have run the scout team in full on Friday? Like, lies on top of lies. This is like a wedding cake. 7 layers. Except instead of vanilla and sponge and chantilly cream and strawberries and chocolate and whatever nonsense you've got in there, it's lie on top of lie on top of falsehood on top of falsehood on top of BS on top of BS with a big old-fashioned turd on top of it. What a bunch of liars. And like, I'm not here to snitch or narc or tattletale. Let's just call it like it is. With what happened last week with betting in the world of sports in the NBA, the NFL cannot have this. You can't have it. Because when the report is Lamar practices in full, obviously people are like, he's playing in the game. And then you have NFL insiders tweeting, Lamar is now on track to start. And guess what happens? The Ravens get bet. You don't have to be a professional bettor to know that. Hey, guess what? Lamar's playing. Who do you want to bet? Lamar's in. Obviously, you want to bet the Ravens. Now, the people that bet Baltimore, they won. They were lucky enough to win because Tyler Huntley gets the job done and Caleb Williams couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and Baltimore covers the spread anyway. But I mean, if you bet Baltimore and you laid 6.5 or you bet them at any point during the week with the expectation that Lamar's going to play and then that happens and then they yo-yo you and they loosey and they pull the football away from you and you're like fat ass, dumb ass Charlie Brown missing the football and landing on your fat ass and you're stuck holding the bag with -2.5 instead of -6.5. Like, what the hell is that? You can't have this. There has to be some type of consequence. And like, I have no axe to grind. I don't care. Let's just call it like it is. It is blatant falsehoods told by the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh continues to lie about it. And it's absolutely ridiculous. But that's a story for the offseason. For now, we think the Ravens are going to get Lamar Jackson back on Thursday night. Who the hell knows with this team? The betting market definitely feels like it's going to be Lamar. Because the Ravens are a 7 or a 7.5 point favorite Thursday night in Miami against the suddenly resurgent Miami Dolphins. We'll get into the Falcons as we move along. So Baltimore's 2-5, the Steelers are 4-3. Let's talk about Baltimore's schedule moving forward this season. 7 or 7.5 point favorites in Miami, likely to win. Let's go ahead and say even if the Ravens don't cover, they get the dub. 3-5. at Minnesota. Not saying they'll definitely win that game, but if Lamar's starting, they're going to be favored. I guess Minnesota could kill Detroit on Sunday in Detroit. I doubt that happens. The Ravens will likely be favored. At Cleveland. Home Jets. Home Bengals. Home Steelers. At Bengals. Home Patriots. At the Packers. At the Steelers. They're going to be underdogs in one of those games. One. If Lamar's back. And it'll be week 17 at Lambeau against the Packers. That's it. They will be favored in every other game, including week 18 in Pittsburgh. Including week 18 in Pittsburgh. Doesn't mean they're going to win all the games just because they're favored. But I'm just saying, do you see now why this was such a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad 10 days for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Baltimore at BetMGM is 2-5 and is minus 125 to win the division. The Steelers are plus 160. The irony in all of this for Pittsburgh, it's coming into the year. And I liked Pittsburgh more than most, but I thought this too. We all said it. Everybody, whether you're bullish or bearish on the Steelers. What was the prevailing thought? Think about it. Defense is going to kick ass. Can the offense give you anything? We're almost halfway through the regular season, and it's the diametric opposite. The offense and Aaron Rodgers has been really good, and the defense can't stop anyone. I shouldn't say that. They were pretty good against Dylan Gabriel. Now, think about the AFC playoff picture as it stands right now. Without knowing what the seeds are going to be, the AFC East, we think, is going to send two teams, right? Buffalo and New England. The AFC West, probably going to send three teams. Kansas City, Denver, and the Chargers. The AFC South has to send a team, the division champ. Looks like it's going to be Indy. That leaves one spot in the AFC North. After everything I've just said, do you want the Ravens or do you want the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'll tell you who I don't want. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll talk about Bengals, Jets, and Eagles, Giants to wrap up the hour. Next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Day comes down to this for the Bengals, 4th and 9. Flacco protected. Flacco's pass incomplete. And the Jets are going to do it here in Cincinnati.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
My fellow Greek freak and Fordham Ram, Spiro Dedis on the call yesterday. You know, kind of lost in a lot of the fun storylines percolating around Week 8 NFL Sunday is the indisputable fact. I think it's indisputable. Was this the worst NFL Sunday of our lives? The games were all blowouts. All of them. And maybe not, like, depends what your definition of blowout is. Like, the Texans won by 11. The Packers won by 10. But you get what I'm saying. There's no endgame drama. And we're used to the witching hour being absolutely insane, like getting these crazy endings. And even if there's not six of them, we usually get like two or three over the course of a day. Yesterday, we only had one. And it emanated from the Queen City with the Cincinnati Bengals. What a bunch of losers. In the AFC North odds, I mentioned Baltimore's minus 125. Pittsburgh's plus 160. I didn't even feel the need to say that Cincinnati's plus 750. I'm not here for anything positive about the Cincinnati Bengals. Nothing. Now, they might beat the Bears this weekend. Do we think Joe Flacco is going to be okay being called day-to-day with a shoulder injury? He left towards the end of the game yesterday against the Jets, came back in at the very end for that pathetic final drive that Cincinnati had that lasted four plays and gave the game to the Jets. The Bengals could beat the Bears next week. That could absolutely happen because the Bears have their own issues, namely the quarterback. But this team is no good. This is what we said before the year, when we thought Joe Burrow was the quarterback. I mean, seriously, like if I told you, like before the season started, what happens in week 8 to the Bengals? They score 38 points and lose. You'd be like, oh, sounds like last year with Joe Burrow. What's changed? The defense, I'm actually going to say it. Because I think the Miami Dolphins earned enough yesterday with their demolition of the pathetic Atlanta Falcons. I think the Dolphins have kind of played themselves out of the schneid here. The worst defense in the NFL is not the Dallas Cowboys. This is the worst defense in the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals. And great, you've got two awesome receivers and a pretty good running back and a quarterback that can at least support the receivers, get them the ball, unlike Jake Browning, whatever the hell he was doing. None of it's going to matter. None of it's going to matter because the defense can't stop anyone. And how do we know they can't stop anyone? Because they allowed the Jets to score 39 points. The Jets, who had their owner last week say, our team would be pretty good if only we could complete the forward pass. The Jets missing the only viable pass catcher on the team in Garrett Wilson. The Jets, who had to turn back to embattled Justin Fields. 7 yards per play. They annihilated the Bengals defense. This looked like Emmitt and the 93 Cowboys running the ball. Breece Hall, Isaiah Davis, Breece Hall throwing the game-winning touchdown to Mason Taylor. Are you kidding me, Cincinnati? I'm not here for anything related positively to Cincinnati. And we will do the show 1 week from today. And maybe the Bengals beat the Bears. It's possible. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe I'll bet the Bengals in the game. I don't know. And I don't care. None of it's going to matter. They ain't doing anything. They weren't going to the playoffs with Joe Burrow. And they ain't going to the playoffs without Joe Burrow. Miss me with the Cincinnati nonsense. As far as the New York Jets go. And I don't mean this to be funny, but, you know, I'll say this. I'll do like my Lance Storm imitation. If I can be serious for a minute, in all seriousness. Yesterday morning, Sunday morning, I think collectively, all of us as sports fans and football fans, and most importantly, human beings
are absolutely stopped in our tracks by the news that 41-year-old former Jets center, one of the best offensive linemen in the league during his time with the Jets, Nick Mangold, passes away due to complications from kidney disease. And he had tweeted recently, like, that he hated to ask for this, but he really needed a kidney transplant. And there's probably, like, a much deeper conversation to be have here about the willingness of humans to be able to, like, donate organs like this to save somebody's life. And this is not me being like, it's someone's fault. Like, I didn't do anything. I'm just saying. It all happened really fast. And we're all stunned by this news. And from my perspective personally, and I'm the one just talking into the microphone, so that's why I'll say this. I'm 42, so I'm a year older than Nick Mangold. He had children. I have a daughter. The thought of, honestly, like, I don't even want, because, like, it'll bring me to tears. The thought of having to leave this world early and leave, like, my wife behind and my daughter behind, like, is unfathomable. And your heart breaks for his family and his friends and his loved ones, and should serve as yet another reminder to all of us. I think humans are mostly good, but we are also very dumb, myself included. Yet another reminder for all of us how precious all of this is, and that nothing is guaranteed. Nothing. Not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, not even 10 minutes from now, not even 10 seconds from now. None of it's guaranteed. Rest in peace to Nick Mangold, and peace and love to his family. You better, you bet on this Monday. And through that lens, it's not like the Jets went out there and, like, won it for Nick Mangold, and I'm not trying to insinuate that. But you can feel good for that organization on that day to be able to do what they did. And good for Aaron Glenn bringing it up in the post-game locker room, talking about Mangold and what a great Jet he was and what it means to be a Jet. And I'm not trying to be hokey here and kind of like they won for it. That's not what I'm saying. Just that this is, it's a human story that the Jets went out and got the job done. And for Justin Fields, a guy that has been killed by everyone, including me, I've been saying for years he can't play. You know, this is one of those things where you have a moment as a human. I had this moment yesterday where he does the post-game interview and then talks at his press conference about last week being on the floor in his closet, crying, like sobbing, because of what life has thrown at him. And it's not that he's asking for pity or that he has the worst life. He's rich, obviously. But this goes to show, like, money can't wallpaper over every concern or ail that there is in life. That's not how it goes. If it did, that would be awesome. But it's not. How do you not feel good for this young man? And I've killed him. I've said he can't play. People like me are probably one of the reasons why he feels the way he does. And it makes you feel pretty bad, but we got a job to do. Like, he's not very good. Sorry. But it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. And it doesn't mean you can't feel good for the young man, and you can't feel good for that head coach, and you can't feel good for that organization winning its first game of the season in the fashion they did it, under the circumstances they did it in. It's good stuff yesterday from the New York Jets. Also, I bet them, and I appreciate their efforts. And now people are asking, well, is this the springboard to great things coming up for the Jets? I will do my best Michael Myers as Goldmember impersonation from Austin Powers 3 and say, how about no? No. They're still terrible. They'll be lucky to win 3 or 4 games this year. They're brutal. But yesterday, a great day for the New York Jets. Not so much for the other New York football team, as the Giants lose 38-20 to the Philadelphia Eagles at the Link. Cam Scataboo, done for the year. Just a heinous injury, and I'm watching it on the TV, and I see his ankle pointing, and I'm just like, all we needed was like Tony Romo, like what has happened to Dak, being like, oh, I think it's just a sprain. Or like his ankles, his foot is pointing in the wrong direction. You knew immediately, and Dart's cursing, and the players are calling for the cart immediately, and it is horrible. It's horrible. The Giants season unofficially ended last Sunday in Denver, and officially ended yesterday in Philadelphia. Not just because Cam Scataboo, like one of the sources of energy of this team, a source of intense optimism, a building block for a franchise lost in the wilderness for a decade, not just because he's done for the year, but because this team's got no hope. And we'll get into the officiating, we'll talk about the tush push to start next hour. You strip all of that away, and the Eagles still slam them in the game. There is no comparing these two teams. The Eagles are 50 times better. And now, the Giants are 2-6 with an impossible schedule awaiting them. Like I said last week, prepare for next year, a new coach and a GM for Jackson Dart as he enters year two, and that new coach and GM will not have picked him. We'll get into more with Brian Daboll. We'll talk about the tush push and the Philadelphia Eagles. And Brian Kelly's firing at LSU to start next hour. Hour one done. Hour two for you. Coming up on the other side. You Better You Bet on this magnificent Monday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.